Speaking up for the rest of us. He is America's voice, Steve Gruber.
Welcome back to it. It's a Monday, and that means we've got the professor standing by on his way in. All right, Alan Sachs, professor of political science, University of Texas, Arlington. Professor, how are you today?
I'm going to Biarritz. I'm getting a special jet flying into Biarritz to talk to all of them.
All right. You say that again?
I'm going to Biarritz in France to talk to all the G7 members.
Yeah, of course. What do you make of the G7? I see that the Chinese have said that they want a calm ending to the tariff battle. They announcing that today. They want a calm end to the tariff battle because the president said, I'm ready to declare a national emergency, would have frozen all business.
It's the best news that's come out of that meeting yet. And the stock markets are just rallying all over that. I think the futures on the New York Stock Exchange are now up over 400 points. So they like it. So far, so good.
All right. Well, that's good. And that's what I've said for a long time. My belief was that as soon as they got it under, got the tariffs negotiated out, that the president would pull them off. Even if they were at an impasse, if it was still stuck there, say June 1 of 2020, he'd pull the tariffs back and find some reason to do it.
That's right.
Because it would turn the economy loose going into November of 2020. Right now, if he does it, it could turn the economy loose for the next 2 or 3 or 4 years.
I think what we're hearing is correct, it's a great victory for President Trump.
If it comes to pass, that's right. Now, it was the Japanese, and clearly the president's been in negotiation with the Japanese behind the scenes. Obviously, he knew that. The Japanese knew that. The Japanese agreeing to buy a minimum of $7 billion, mostly in corn. But it takes the advantage away from the Chinese, takes the leverage away, doesn't it?
That's right. It's pretty good. President Trump may be really pulling this off. And if he can, it'll be a tremendous boost for him in the election of 2020.
No, there you go. And the economy continues to roll. I see that there's a new candidate running against the president, some guy by the name of Joe Walsh.
Yeah, he's a talk show host.
Yeah, and he's a hateful, hateful anti-never Trumper guy. I mean, I see his tweets. He's just blisteringly hateful of the president every single day, tweet after tweet. And now this guy's running of course, he has no shot at winning anything.
Yesterday, CNN had a sort of a town hall between two great Democrats, Mr. de Blasio of New York City and
Steve Bullock?
Steve Bullock of Montana.
Yeah, there you go.
Governor Bullock of Montana is pretty good in some ways for a Democrat.
I agree with that. I thought Bullock would be a reasonable candidate,
but
none of the governors got any traction. Of course, Hickenlooper now has failed at running for president, so he's going to try to run for U.S. Senate. Good luck with that, because he's just a weirdo to me.
Ask Mayor de Blasio the kind of questions that they ought to ask him. Like, what about the New York City Police Department that is continually being heckled, harassed by people on the street, and that's not good? So ask the police department what they think of Mayor de Blasio. It's not good. And yet he talks about all the great stuff he's done for New York City. You just want to shake him. Except he's about 8'3" or something. So I don't think it's so easy to shake him.
Yeah, he's a big fella, but that's all right. He has never garnered more. I don't even think he's gotten 1%. Now, I see that there are more Democrats qualifying for the debate next month. Where do we see that? It's in Houston. Isn't it in Texas, right?
I think so, although I'm not sure. I'm not too keen on it. Every time I watch those debates, I keep thinking, oh, my God. What's interesting, last night on Fox, Mark Levin has a little program where he interviews people. And he interviewed two professors from Texas, which is interesting. One from Texas Tech, which is out in West Texas, very conservative part of our state. Another one from SMU, Southern Methodist University, that I've always considered very liberal, and I still think it is.
Right.
But they've written a book together, and the book is called Socialism Sucks. And that's their title.
Yeah.
And you can see where the other academics probably did not like that title. But it was a very good discussion.
That's too bad.
Two professors from Texas Tech and SMU, they just eviscerated what socialism stands.
Well, I love what Hasbro did. They came out with Monopoly Socialism.
That's right.
Winning is for capitalists, it says right on the cover of the box. But it's a real thing. You don't get $200 when you pass go. You get a $50 living wage, among other things. I think that's beautiful. By the way, yes, I do have, there are 10 candidates that have qualified for the debate in September, which is pointless. I mean, Klobuchar and Castro and Yang have qualified. They have no shot at ever being president.
And they all say the very same thing.
Right. They, none of those people have any shot at being president ever. But de Blasio, Delaney, Bennett, Gabbard, Gillibrand, Ryan, Williamson, Bullock, Messam, Sestak, Steyer. Even Tom Steyer hasn't qualified. He tried to buy his way in.
I think Senator Elizabeth Warren and Beto, who's still around, that Beto O'Rourke ought to get together as a team. They both flail their arms around when they're talking.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Elizabeth Warren spent her entire adult life lying about her heritage.
That's right. And by the way, I understand she's from a very well-to-do family.
Of course she is.
You know,
she's worth $20 million. Her net worth is $20 million. She didn't come from, you know,
and
not a pauper.
And got paid something like $50,000, $60,000. Maybe, I don't know what the exact salary was at Harvard Law School, but a pretty good salary from Harvard Law.
Right. Well, and she got there. And then Harvard touted her as the only Native American professor on staff, and of course she was not. And I mean, come on. She lied about it in her entire adult life, and then she tried, well, it's what my mommy told me. Well, my mommy told me the tooth fairy was real, too, but, you know, at some point.
that is correct. My mother told me some things, too, that were not true.
Yeah.
Know?
My mommy told me, and therefore I believe that I was, you know, I was an Indian princess. Please.
But I'm from Oklahoma. I have a pretty good claim on Indian heritage, but I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and going through the DNA test, I found out that I have a little bit more Native American blood than Elizabeth Warren, and I have none.
Everybody has a little bit of everything.
Exactly. So it's complete nonsense. So you've got, but really, when you look at it right now, you got Biden, you've got Sanders, you got Biden, Bernie, and Warren. Those are the only three that are really viable. Kamala Harris was taken out permanently by Tulsi Gabbard. It's over.
Is really getting to be mean now in his
Who's
old
that?
Age. I don't know what it is. I think he thought that he could get the nomination pretty easy this time, and it's not happening.
No, it's so not.
He's really turned into a mean little man.
But then you've got Joe Biden, who on any given Sunday doesn't know where he is.
Sleepy Joe. Yeah. I know it. Sleepy Joe.
Well, you know, he thought he was in New Hampshire, but then he said he was in Vermont, then he thought he was in Vermont, but he was actually in New Hampshire. You know, it's just confusing to watch him talk.
Probably the most important thing that President Obama has said in recent years is what he allegedly said to Joe Biden last week. You don't have to do this, Joe.
Just last week.
Yeah, don't have to do this, Joe.
But the problem is there's nobody in that. There's nobody in the 10 people that are in.
If the economy holds.
It's
President
over.
Trump is going to be a shoe-in.
Yeah, absolutely. Professor, we got
to
leave it there. Yeah, 63%. 63% of Americans now believe that Donald Trump will be reelected. That's an important factor because people like to vote for a winner. I'll leave it right there, Professor. Always good to have you here. Enjoy
Thank
the kids.
You.
Enjoy the kids this week. All right.
It'll be wonderful.
There you go. Alan Sachs, Professor.
Thank you so much.
Political Science, University of Texas, Arlington. Longest contributor to the program. Straight ahead, Rich Studley will join us from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. Don't go anywhere. Steve Gruber Show.
DTE wants to help your business build Michigan's future. Whether your business is large, small, or in between, a DTE expert will help you find ways to improve energy efficiency and add incentives through our many programs. Programs that can help you save money. Money you can use to create jobs and invest in the future. You see, DTE wants you to be successful. Because when your business thrives, Michigan does too. DTE. At DTE, our business is making sure you have reliable, affordable natural gas to keep your business running. So we constantly upgrade and monitor our system 24/7, 365. We also buy natural gas in the summer when prices are low and store it for winter. Because at DTE, part of our business is to keep your business costs affordable all year long. Learn more at dteenergy.com. DTE.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
The National Guard for me was a perfect fit. I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I didn't find that in the normal day-to-day life. I didn't find that working behind a desk. I realized being hands-on and being a soldier was something that would keep me active, keep me outside, keep me in that team environment that I craved and that I needed so much. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake. I wanted to be in Boise, Idaho. I wanted to be home. The National Guard gave me the opportunity to stay right where I was, serve my country and my community, and it was the best of both worlds. I grew up flying bush planes in Alaska with my dad. I was fortunate enough to get my pilot's license. I wanted to be in helicopters. I wanted to be a crew chief. The Army National Guard gave me a chance to fly helicopters now instead of fixed-wing aircraft.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.